This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Thursday, the 12th of August, 2021. And we had built up anticipation of the US CPI report for July that came out yesterday. And it was boring, I would say. It was in line with estimates. There were no big movements in the underlying subcomponents, except maybe for two things that are worth mentioning. So one is that the rent equivalent subcomponent was remaining pretty high and could soon take over the and keep inflation, the inflation rate at an elevated level as used car prices and other subcomponents are compressing or coming down a little bit. So there are some hints that inflation is a little bit more sticky than what you expect. But the market, the bond market in particular, was quite unnerved about that one, and was trading lower. The yields in the U.S. long end of the yield curve was trading a little bit lower. I'll let you talk about that in a few seconds, Ole, but I'll just mention that what happened in equities, they were not really impressed by the inflation report, didn't really react to it. We have the on slide two, we have the S&P 500 futures very close to an all-time high. We have the Nasdaq that is extending its recent declines a little bit more under pressure. Among the different themes, there is a lot of divergence, no clear signal, I would say, inside the themes, maybe except for the winners yesterday were logistics, travel, the commodity sector, and India, which, you know, I would say were pro-growth bets. And then I wrote a piece yesterday on the gaming industry, as you can see on that themes overview. On performance, you can see months to date gaming and especially year to date is just falling out of bed. And I've written a little bit piece on gaming and what to make of it. Ole, instead of I'm talking, I could talk about Foxconn's earnings that came out just before this podcast. But I think we should pivot to the U.S. interest rates and what's going on there. You have a chart on slide four.
Indeed, John.
You can call me that if you want.
Exactly. I'm still so used to saying John, but it's Peter, and you're doing a brilliant job, Peter. We saw the CPI the market is just using the comments that it moderated somewhat last month, and it was enough to help just take the sting out of the yield rally we've seen recently. But as you mentioned, Peter, here on slide four, it's also a key technical level that we just briefly, at least for now, has reversed lower from. That's the 137.40, 1.374 level. That's the 38.2% retracement of the big yield drop we had from March down to the low here in July. So naturally a level where the market just paused, but the momentum is probably still there, I would say, especially ahead of the Jackson Hole symposium in late August, where again the market will, I think, increasingly will be focused on that potentially being the date for an announcement from Jay Powell. So that's probably going to keep the bond yields supported. But what it did do, just briefly at least, did support a recovery in gold. We're in the mid-50s right now. We are in this 50 to 60 resistance band. And we need to close above 1760, I would say, in order to attract some short covering from recently established selling interest. And we also need to keep an eye on the dollar. We did bounce off that 117 key level in the euro dollar yesterday, but holding it below resistance at 117.55, that's really the two key areas. So for gold really to make any additional progress here, I think we need to see that euro dollar break above resistance, and so far it's not doing it. And I think so basically a little bit of a moderation in the market, but I think the trajectory that we have seen in recent weeks has not been reversed by yesterday's number.
All right, and I think before we go into a discussion about crude oil and grains, let me just point to one of the earnings releases that was just come through the wire before we went on this podcast, and that's from Foxconn. And they just absolutely blasted the earnings estimates, as you can see in slide three. Net income and operating profit much better than expected. They are seeing for Q3 that their consumer electronics business to drop quarter on quarter. I find that pretty interesting. Could have some impact on Apple when trading opens in the US later today. They're also saying that the component shortages for the overall electronics business could last well into Q2 of 2022. So that's, you know, almost a year from now. It tells you a little bit about how awkward the situation is or how difficult it is. And then they're touching on this. So the Foxconn, which has been an extremely successful manufacturer of electronics for Apple and other big, you know, technology companies, they are venturing into the electric vehicle business. And you know, the chairman of Foxconn says that they expect the EV business to grow more significantly next year, and they are starting to do mass production in the US by 2023. So one of the absolute highest quality companies in the world within manufacturing is going all in on electric vehicles. And it's going to be very interesting to follow. It just for sure heats up the competition even more. I have more comments on the electric vehicles with the NIO earnings, but we'll do that later on the podcast. But Ole, let's go back to crude oil. It's been very much the talk of the town and commodities with the Delta variant. And we got news yesterday with Mexico reaching a new I think all-time high on case, or at least a local all-time highs on cases. Is it impacting the demand for oil? And then also you have to comment on the White House, the Biden administration, the White House, you know, comment yesterday that they arguing they want the OPEC plus to increase production. Isn't it an irony when we're talking about the green transformation from the Biden administration?
Yes, it is indeed, Peter. And this time round, we've seen comments before, intervention attempts before from the White House. This one yesterday came in response to a rising gasoline price in the US, which has given the Republicans an edge. There's going to be a midterm election in 2022, and gasoline prices rising gasoline prices is always not a good position to be in if you want to win votes. So we had a comment yesterday that they were urging OPEC to do more to increase production, to remove the production cuts that they introduced last year, thereby supporting the lower prices and with that also lower gasoline prices. It obviously does ring quite hollow because it's coming from the US where there is a growing anti-fossil fuel focus from the government. Over time, potentially correct, but in the near term, we are still not weaned off oil for the foreseeable future. And we have to remember as well, the US is now producing almost 2 million barrels less than they did at the peak in March last year. On top of that, strategic reserves could be unleashed or released. Strategic reserves has been built up, and it's based on number of days of import. And we all know that US production has risen in recent decade. So the need for reserves has also come down. And that basically means they could release the reserves into the market if it really means business. But for now, leaving it to someone else to put prices down when they are at the same time trying to curb domestic production, that obviously is something the market is having a little bit of a tough time squaring out. So crude oil initially dropped, but rallied later on. And the sense in the market is that the virus is going to have an impact, but potentially only short term once again, a couple of months, maybe three, before demand will recover strongly again. So that's why we are basically just settling into to a range here. We got the Brent now for the past months stuck here in a $8 range, 68 to the downside, 76 to the upside. And I think there's not much of a chance that we're going to break out of that anytime soon. And I just showed on slide five the results of yesterday's weekly inventory report. I would say it was mixed, but generally still supported because gasoline stocks are coming down, production is not going up, and crude inventories at Cushing, the delivery hub for WTI futures, continues to come down, and that will continue to support, provide some relative support to WTI.
All right, Ole, and while you're having your spiel on commodities, I think you might away take it away with the grains analysis, because we have the WASDE report, if I recall correctly, today, right? So I guess that can move the grains market.
Well, it's quite often does. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, as it's called by its long name, is released on a monthly basis by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They basically collect data to give their best estimates on where they believe stocks, yields per acre, and production is going to be for the three major crops, corn, soybean, and wheat. Also estimates on production from South America. And we've seen both soybeans and corn trade sideways now for at least a month. Wheat has been going higher due to lower production forecasts from Europe and from Russia. But into this today's report, the market is really looking for a price supportive downgrade to corn yields, as you can see on the slide six. The yield is there are the expectation that they will downgrade that obviously. A lower yield will lead to lower production and lead to lower stocks. And if they don't come with that downgrade, you can see how on the chart how corn is a little bit trading in a precarious range here, because that looks pretty much like a head and shoulder to me, which basically means that if we start to take out 525 to the downside, we could see quite significant amount of fresh weakness come into the market. So we are in a key 50 cent range here between 525 and 575 on corn. So it's going to be interesting when the number is released later today.
All right, and that takes us to the macro calendar, and I've highlighted three things, and the first one is at 12:30 is the weakest initial jobless claims and continuing claim for the US. It's one of our best real-time indicators on the US economy. Have improved those two indicators have improved dramatically over the past couple of months, or this year I would say, and with the non-farm payroll, the US jobs report we had on Friday, the trajectory for the US economy and the labor market, it looks very, very strong. And I expect that to be confirmed in today's jobless claims. At 1800, we have a Mexico rate decision with the market looking for a 25 basis point hike. So obviously, if you're trading emerging market currencies and specifically the Mexican peso, that's obviously an important event to follow. We'll have a brief mention of that in tomorrow's podcast. And then later tonight, European and US time, we'll have the South Korean export numbers for July. It's one of those leading indicators in the US economy, an important one to track. And then in terms of the upcoming calendar events, it's not much tomorrow. So tomorrow will be a very light macro, but we will, in tomorrow's podcast, we will talk a little bit about what macro figures are ahead of next week. And then, as you can see, we've added a few more in the with blue, with the color blue here. And that's, future events that are worth having in the calendar. And we've added the German federal election, which is in late September, so a little bit more than a month from now. And then the G20 and the update to the tax negotiations for multinationals. The earnings watch, we always end our podcast with that one. And yesterday, we had the disappointment from Vestas. We had earnings from eBay as well that was very much just in line. Their number of active users, buying users, were very much off the mark in terms of expectations. But despite of that, eBay shares held up pretty well in the extended trading. But NIO was the stock, the Chinese electrical vehicle maker, that was the earnings that I had anticipated or had anticipated the most. And they basically delivered deliveries numbers just south of 22,000 for the quarter. As you can see, the headline from CNBC on slide eight here, they focused very much on the revenue that was up 130% almost from a year ago. But it doesn't really make sense to talk about this year on a year basis in the electric vehicle, because the growth rate has been so explosive. It's much more important to look at the quarter on quarter. And NIO only expanded its deliveries by, I say only, it's still a lot, 9%. But as you can see, they're coming from very low numbers. I've put in one of the four leading manufacturers and sellers of electric vehicles, and you can just see NIO is just really behind, and they've already been overtaken by BMW. And this is the story that we said earlier this year when we talked about Tesla, that it's going to be, we thought that this year was going to be a make or break year for Tesla. It's probably not going to be this year, but maybe 2022, with, you know, Foxconn also entering the business, you have the ramp up from Volkswagen. I do expect Volkswagen to overtake Tesla maybe next year in terms of deliveries, and then BMW and Daimler also expanding. So at one point, I mean, there is only a certain size of profit pool for global car makers. So at one point, I do think that margins will begin to be squeezed. In terms of earnings today, we have a big one from Ørsted, which is one of the largest names inside the green transformation basket we have on our Saxo platform and the one we track. We have Walt Disney later, and then Palantir Technology, which is a favorite among retail investors, and then Baidu, XPeng, and Li Auto, three Chinese names to really watch. And XPeng and Li Auto also in the EV space, but with much lower production and delivery numbers than NIO. So we don't really track those two companies that much for now. And I think that that's a wrap for today's podcast. We will just, Ole and I will just say thank you for keep listening. We really appreciate it. And do remember, on Monday we'll have a full team back. We'll have Tia on fixed income. We'll have John Hardy on currencies and macro. And Ole and I, of course, will contribute with our knowledge on equities and commodities. And it should be and then we should be up to speed with everything that goes on in the market. But in the meantime, stay safe, and we'll be back same time and place tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.